Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Presented by Progressive Insurance, all our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll have our senior shout-out coming up in about 20 minutes or so, so stick around for that. Ben Lyons for his weekly movie review at 11:30, and Mike Trudell joins us now here, friend of the program, the best sideline reporter in the business of your Los Angeles Lakers on Spectrum Sports, our buddy Mike Trudell. Hello, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Serrano? Man, miss seeing you in person. The last time that we were texting was about the horse tournament, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet because I taped it so I could watch it with my kids. But I did remember telling you that whoever had an indoor court was going to win, and this was before I even started watching. So I saw the headline that Conley wins, and I am giving the credit to being indoors.
Yeah. Well, look, I was watching him go against Zach LaVine yesterday, and it started like, it felt like it was either raining or snowing in upstate Washington where he lives, and it was just impossible for him at the end.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the one thing that if they do this again, and let's just all hope that we don't have to, that we can get some semblance of basketball at some point. But yeah, that's, you got to neutralize the court somehow, man. That makes a massive difference.
For sure. All right, so before I get to your LeBron story and us getting into our season-ending awards, because the regular season would have ended yesterday, the playoffs would have started tomorrow, I'm starting to get misty-eyed, so let's not talk about that. We had a discussion here on the show, ongoing, before you came on. So there is a story in the LA Times today that basically says that if you're wearing sweatpants while you're working from home, you need to step up your game and just dress like an adult, which I took umbrage with, clearly, because, hell, sometimes I wear sweatpants to the office. So this spawned into a conversation where Bergman said, well, I get it, this, that, and the other. I get now during the pandemic, but, you know, during regular times, like, you should dress up. Like, even to the grocery store, I'll put on some jeans or whatever, or nice shorts. I'm like, whoa, wait, you're dressing up to go to the grocery store? So, Mike Trudell, is it okay to wear sweatpants, basketball shorts to your local Ralph's, Pavilions, or whatever, wherever you shop, is it okay to wear that type of clothing to the grocery store?
Bro, of course. What else? Why? For what other reason? Maybe than if you were like single and trying to meet somebody and impress, if that's your thing, then I guess okay. But I still think you're better off being yourself. And who among us does not want to be comfortable? Now, you and I, for our jobs, have to wear suits a lot. And so anytime that we're not having to be in suits, I'm guessing you're like me, you cannot find me outside of shorts or sweats. You cannot. Yep. You will not see me at the mall. You will not see me at Target, the grocery store, without usually some type of Lakers shorts or Minnesota Vikings or Manchester United. I'm basically repping my squad and wearing comfortable clothes 24/7 if I don't have to have a suit on. And I support that as a general rule and a general statement. Unless you think that you have a better chance of meeting somebody new and impressing them by wearing something. But I don't know, man. I say you be you. Wear what's comfortable.
Bergman, go defend yourself.
It's not so much about wearing that. And this is the biggest thing. It's being presentable and like having your hair done or, you know, being clean and not wearing dirty sweatpants and a dirty shirt. You have it, just wearing something that's at least presentable to being outside.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll take a shower. I'll put a little stuff in my hair for 30 seconds. So, like, that's cool. I'd be presentable up top for sure. But I don't think you automatically look better in jeans and, like, a button-up shirt than you do in a nice pair of Jordans with basketball shorts and a T-shirt. Like, it just depends on the style element of it.
Okay, real quick. Laura's saying on our text chat that I'm not presenting it properly. Go ahead, Laura. Present it to Mike, then.
Okay, so my thing, I agree with Greg, because the way you were saying is that he has to dress up. I don't think jeans is dressing up. It's just...
They're less comfortable than sweats, though, Laura.
I love jeans. They keep everything together. So. I just don't think jeans is dressing up. I think we need to make that comparison. If you're
see, I draw the line there. I think if I have to put on jeans, I feel like I'm dressing up at that point.
If this were the '90s when Sedano and I were in high school, like then in the Jabot jeans that were super baggy and still comfortable. Now you can't even buy jeans that are anywhere near that baggy. Like I hate the skinny jeans, and you can't even normal jeans now are skinny. So in other words, they're not comfortable, in my opinion.
I disagree, but right. It
was like 100% with the callers. We took like 10 calls, and they were all on our side, Trudell. And on the poll on ESPN Los Angeles, 74% agree with us. So you know what, Bergman? This is 2 days in a row. Take the L.
I'm not taking an L on this one.
The only thing I'll say for in terms of working at home, I get that for people that are used to being in an office 9 to 5, and there's somehow some element of seriousness that comes with like starting your day and putting a shirt on and buttoning it up. But like George, you know, a lot of times you and I are doing work at 11 PM, you know, watch with a game on and then the like basketball reference up, right? We're used to working in that context, like just basically being in sweats all day.
Right. Agreed. All right. So tell me about the cool LeBron story you've got on Lakers.com.
I mean, so it just as a check-in from LeBron, we were able to talk to him, some of us, on a Zoom call last week. And, you know, the main point, of course, I think that he was trying to get across, just to paraphrase to some extent, is what's most important is the general safety of everybody. Like, he was almost every answer that he gave, that was clear. But then it was about the hope of returning back to basketball. And I think that of course, is shared by everybody. And there's been some optimism in certain circles of late. There's been some pessimism a week ago. We really don't know exactly what's going to happen. But what he's doing, and this is where he has, you know, somewhat of an advantage over some guys, is he's got a court at his house, and he's got an elite, maybe one of the best, take your pick, I don't know, 10, 20 high school freshmen in the country who can actually play with him. And so they're also going to gyms some of his friends have gyms that he was talking about where, like, he doesn't see anybody. They clean the whole thing out, wipe it down completely so no germs, nobody touched anything. He goes in, plays basketball with Bronny, gets out, doesn't touch anybody, and goes home. So he's doing what he can to stay in his best possible shape. And that, George, to me, as I throw this back to you, the reason that I was initially interested in this whole thing about the layoff and LeBron and his body is because he has been building so perfectly and so ideally from a physical standpoint into the playoffs. You saw him ramping things up, and you, George, in Miami got to see that firsthand. Laker fans didn't get to see that last year. We didn't get to see the typical LeBron buildup into where he's peaking at that 100% level come the playoffs. And so on the one hand, would that interrupt the rhythm for LeBron more than other people? Or since he's played the third most combined minutes in NBA history, playoff and regular season, behind only Kareem and Malone, like, does that in its own right, just having him get some rest back from the regular season, does that help or hurt him? And his quick take on that was that basically, like, it's the former, that the rhythm that's broken is more of a thing than the rest, because his body is not wanting to rest right now. But that to me was kind of the interesting thing about thinking about this specific guy, all that he's done in all his years, and the potential return to play scenarios.
Yeah, that's where I would have, having not known what he said to you, that's where I would have leaned just based on his history. Like, he knows his body as well as any athlete I've ever covered. And I think that he ramps it up, as you pointed out, for a reason, right? Like, he wants to be at maximum LeBron as we get to the playoffs. And he was there. And the Lakers had the big wins against the Bucks and the Clippers. And he was playing great. And Anthony Davis was playing great. And it just was... It's just a shame that that's where it went. But I do like the fact that if the league gets back, they're talking about a potential ramp up again with a little mini training camp, which I think will help LeBron. And here's the other thing. Vogel talked about this, I think, on his conference call, too, where he said, look, we gelled a lot quicker than we thought. And LeBron did, too, now that I remember. And I think that the Lakers could do that again. So I do feel confident that he can get back, or they can get back to close to being what they were. But yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for him for sure.
Yep. The next point I was going to make was what you just did. You just did for me with Vogel. He said that he was so impressed with how quickly they pulled things together. And LeBron has such a mastery of what this team needs to do on the court, off the court. Everybody goes along with that, including AD as his top lieutenant there. And so that does bring some of that optimism back, where even though it was the rhythm for LeBron and the team was building perfectly, they were about to clinch the number one seed. LeBron was about to overtake Giannis in the MVP conversation because Giannis was going to be out for 2 weeks, and all of that stuff was going to happen. So that sucks. But like, I do believe what you said, echoing Vogel, that they can find a way to get that rhythm as soon as any other team can.
Yeah, look, I feel good about it. I still think that that they're the championship favorite. Like, I don't change that dynamic. I am curious to see, though, if we do get back, you know, where it's going to be. I saw yesterday that the mayor of Vegas was saying she wants to reopen the city. Well, if that happens, I don't see the NBA going there. I did see the Yahoo story that made the suggestion of Disney World. I mean, I'd be in on that too. I mean, I joke a lot about Florida, but I feel like Disney World is its own, you know, look, it's its own entity. It's its own private place, right? Like, you can be, they have 39 miles worth of land and hotels and places to play. So I would feel good about that. I just want to get back on the court if we can, and everyone gets the green light and we can move forward from a health perspective, both from the general public side and, of course, from a sports side.
Yeah, and there are so many unknowns. I just remember the other night I was watching Game 7, like many of us were, Lakers-Celtics, and the imports of that crowd and just how much energy the players derived from it. And that's going to just change things, right? It's going to have the asterisk on it if there aren't fans in attendance, if we are able to resume games. And specifically to me for the Lakers, not only because they had earned the right to have that number one seed in the West, and who knows what would happen with Milwaukee with the 2 weeks without Giannis if they would have caught them. They're only two games back. But like, that kind of stuff mixed with how much the Laker fans travel and how much how many Laker fans live in every city, that to me does affect the Lakers exponentially more than some other teams without the crowd. But that's just one of 100 issues, George, that are going to come up in this exceptional season that hopefully we will never see the likes of again.
Yeah, it really is wild. But yeah, hopefully we can finish the season and we can get it out there. You know, are you ready to quarantine if you have to in a bubble city? I'm ready.
Look, I am, as you know, I am obsessed with the NBA, with watching games, with covering games, with delivering as much possible. So, yeah, almost any situation I am down for.
Yeah, all right. Now, are you ready to do our year-end awards? Are you ready for that? Have you put together your list? Have you compiled it? I was texting with you yesterday. I was giving you my thoughts. You're like, no. Just save it for the air. Like, I was like, okay, sorry, relax, calm down.
Yeah, save it for the air. And not only that, but you're not getting Kareem at number six or number seven or whatever that was with your.
Oh my God! I can't believe the computer lost. I feel like I was cheated in that thing. There was no way that I should have lost that thing the way I did. But anyway, but you're right. I did steal Kareem at six in that draft with Mason in Ireland. We're gonna do a Dodgers one, me and those guys, pretty soon. So I'm curious to see how that one turns out. All right, Laura, do you have the music I'd like for this segment? Do you have that available? I don't hear it, but okay. I hear it. I know you're playing it. So it's the NBA and NBC. Thank you. Yes, thank you. There it is. There it is. Yes. Now I hear you and it. So that's perfect. All right. So where do you want to start, Trudell? Do you want to do our first, second, and third teams, or do you want to start off with the individual awards?
I'll play individual awards, but it's your show. I'll defer to you.
No, let's go. You're the guest, and you know, we'll go with the individual awards. MVP, go.
All right, so I want to put one important disclaimer behind this. I think that we have to have the ability to project what was going to happen, and especially because there still may be some regular season games. So that's an important caveat in saying that I had LeBron passing Giannis because he would have, had we played those two additional weeks without Giannis playing basketball. The Bucks would have lost a couple more games, and LeBron, just for many different reasons, but from the start of the season, everything that he did in raising his defensive game and completely controlling the offensive output and building a 5.5-game lead in the West compared to the Bucks, who were playing in the East, which had a 7 seed that was 30-34. And they played so many bad teams so often and only had a 2-game difference in the win column. Plus their point differential, again, better by 3 points, but that is completely mitigated considering how much more times they played crap teams in the East. So I had LeBron very narrowly edging out Giannis for the top spot. And although I would not be mad for anybody voting for Giannis, because he was, of course, amazing too. I thought LeBron by a hair, considering he was about to pass him for that 2-week hiatus. So those are my top two. Do you want to go back with yours before we get to the rest of the list?
No, yeah, yeah. I was going with LeBron. I've made it very clear. I think LeBron is still the best player on the planet, so I'm going to go with LeBron. And if like basically the way I look at it is this: Giannis, as great as he's been, and I think he's second. I voted him second in our straw poll that we did at ESPN.com. If aliens came down, if Space Jam was a real thing, okay, and the aliens came down and they weren't warm and fuzzy looking like the ones in the cartoon, but they were like Independence Day looking and we needed to win a game for our life, my first pick is LeBron. So that's my guy right there every single time. So that's just kind of my rationale.
And here, we just saw it also in the game that the Lakers beat the Bucks at home. And this is the one thing where you can still nitpick with Giannis. You can't pick the number, nitpick the numbers, okay? The numbers were ridiculous. They were a little bit better than LeBron's. It's tough to argue the analytics. But basketball is still about winning the championship. That's what the regular season is for. And late in games, you can still limit Giannis by simply completely backing off and building a wall and making him shoot. That's why I still don't have the Bucks as a title favorite like so many do. It's why I picked the Lakers to win, and I think the Clippers would also beat the Bucks in a seven-game series. And even if Philly hadn't been such a mess, I thought that they had a chance to beat the Bucks, just given, again, the crunch time situation. So I do, with all the numbers, that's great. But what you said, George, if I got to win a game, and the reason is because Giannis still has this major weakness that can be exploited, and until that gets shored up, he's not a better player than LeBron.
I agree 100%. All right, we got to speed this up because we only have a couple more minutes. Let's just go quickly. Defensive player of the year, who do you got?
Oh, by the way, I had Kawhi third, Jokic fourth, and Doncic fifth for MVP. Defensive player of the year, give me AD. Shout out to Giannis and Marcus Smart, and to a lesser extent, Gobert. But I thought that AD for the team, again, number one in the West, he was the guy that guarded literally every position on the floor. AD is the defensive player of the year.
I also have Anthony Davis, and to round out my top five, I voted LeBron, Giannis, Chris Paul number three, Kawhi number four, and Luka number five. Most improved player, who do you got?
So this was tough for me. I wanted to go with Brandon Ingram because I just crushed you in the arguments about Ingram that we had.
Your son.
In the spring. When I was high on him, he had such an amazing season, but he did show flashes of that, and he had more opportunity. I think the guy who improved the most, believe it or not, I just mentioned his name, was Luka Doncic. And he just was tremendous. He didn't play more minutes, and yet his numbers took a huge leap, and he led his team to a terrific record. So I got Luka 1, Ingram 2, Tatum 3, Devontae Graham 4, and then take your pick between Siakam and Fred VanVleet for 5.
Oh, see, I just went with Bam. I think he's the most important player on that team. I think he's even more important than Jimmy the way they're playing. At least the analytics will bear that out. All right, let's move forward and move quicker, excuse me. Coach of the year, I got Nick Nurse.
Yeah, Nick Nurse 1, Vogel 2, Taylor Jenkins 3.
Six man, I got Harrell.
Six man. I'm fine with Harrell. I think if you pull that off, they have the highest scoring bench, and he took a step from last year better than Lou Williams.
Now, first team. Here's my first team. Luka, Harden, LeBron, Giannis, and Jokic. Luka and Harden backcourt, LeBron, Giannis, Jokic frontcourt.
I agree. The only thing that I would have liked to have switched would have been to put Kawhi on over Harden, but then you would have had to move LeBron to guard, and I don't really think that's fair because the defense forward. So, yeah, so LeBron, Giannis, Luka, Harden, and Jokic.
Okay, so we agree. Second team, I've got Lillard, Chris Paul, Kawhi, AD, and Joel Embiid.
Ditto, man. I'm not surprised. I think you and I share some of these thoughts watching the league, but that's my exact same second team.
All right, and then third team, before we wrap up with you here, Russ, Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Rudy Gobert.
A little different here. I don't have Russ on there, even though he was good in the last month once Houston changed it up. I've got Jimmy Butler and Tatum, the forwards, Kyle Lowry and Bradley Beal. Lowry, to me, just edged Pascal Siakam because I thought he's slightly more important overall to that team. And then I did have Rudy in the middle. Toughest omission was Bam. And then in addition, Ben Simmons and Chris Middleton would have been runners up for me. But yeah, so Butler, Tatum, Lowry, Beal, and Gobert.
All right. Excellent stuff. One last thing. I was having an argument with a buddy of mine, which I felt was silly, about LeBron and Michael Jordan, right? Like, clearly we always have all these debates, right? We know. And the last dance is coming up on Sunday. So he asked me, how many titles do you think LeBron would have won if he would have played on those Bulls teams like back then? And I said, 6. Like, I think that Jordan is the greatest player I've ever seen. And I don't think Jordan probably loses to Dallas with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and that's the one blemish on LeBron's career, something he'll even admit. The other ones he wasn't favored in. Jordan was always favored in all those series that he played in. And if LeBron played with Horace Grant and Scottie, or Scottie and Kukoc and Rodman, like, I don't think LeBron's losing any of those championships. What do you think?
That's just a tough, it's a tough swap, though, because, like, Jordan's perimeter jump shooting, which was needed on that Bulls team, if you take that out, they didn't really have anybody else that could do that. You know, and then LeBron, like, has the ball a lot more in point guard situations, which Pippen sometimes would do. So I don't love the fit. They would have had, you would have retrograde the fit a little bit also. But yeah, but like, I think LeBron is right behind Jordan in terms of the all-time legend. So like, I'm not going to necessarily take a bunch of championships off the board for him. It's just it's a tricky direct comparison to make, though.
Mike Trudell, your favorite sideline reporter from Spectrum Sports. Thanks for coming by, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Good talking to you. See ya.
See ya. There he is, Mike Trudell. All right, coming up next, it's time for our senior shout-out, Nolan Torres from Corona High School Track and Field. We'll stop by for a few minutes. Stick around. Sedano, 710 ESPN. It's the Sedano Show here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget Ben Lyons coming up in 12 minutes for our weekly movie review on a Friday. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Trudell, text me just so you know that we forgot a couple of awards. Rookie of the Year, he has Ja, Zion, Nunn. Executive of the Year, he has Pelinka, Presti, and Lawrence Frank. He wanted to make sure that I snuck those in because we ran out of time with him. So thanks to Mike Trudell for hanging out with us there. Always appreciate him coming on and gracing us with his presence here on the show. Speaking of gracing us with our presence, time for our senior shout-out. Nolan Torres joins us now, Corona High School Track and Field. Nolan, how are you? Are you and your family safe and sound?
Yeah, we're doing great. How are you doing?
All good, buddy. Thank you for asking. Appreciate it. Good to hear that you guys are okay. So tell me about your track and field career. Tell me about the events that get you the most excited when you were competing.
So I started running my sophomore year of high school, and so I'm super grateful for my high school coaches who took me in kind of a year later, and then they kind of just started steering me to the future that I'm going to have now, running for Vanguard University track and field.
And that's awesome. That's awesome.
I do hurdles and the jumps, so long jump and triple jump. And it's super fun because in the past winter season, I got to compete at the winter championships at Arcadia High School as a pentathlete. So
oh, wow.
I got to do five events instead of just the hurdles and the long jump. So that was super. That was very fun because when it comes to time to compete for Vanguard, I'm going to be a decathlete. So kind of get the ball rolling on that.
Well, tell me about the preparation for the pentathlon and eventually the decathlon, right? Like, how does that affect what you would normally do from a training perspective?
So it's five different disciplines. So you have to learn it's five different techniques and five different, you know, strategies for how to approach an event and everything. So it's definitely, I had coaches that would help me out for learning different events because for the pentathlon, I had to learn shot put, high jump, and I had to run the 1,000. And then the other events were the hurdles and the long jump. So
right.
It was definitely a challenge to learn those new events for me. And so, but having the help that I had and now going into the future, having the help that I am going to have with the coaching staff at Vanguard, I'm looking forward to it. So.
Nolan Torres joining us here, Corona High School Track and Field. You had mentioned earlier, though, that you kind of got a little bit of a late start. Why was that?
So I had played baseball. Baseball has kind of been, it's the big thing in our family ever since I was around 4 years old. But sophomore year, or the summer going into my sophomore year, I was like, you know what? I think I want to try cross country because it always been in the back of my mind and cross country mm-hmm. was a fall sport. So I went out to cross country. And the thing about running though is that people are like, oh, I can't do it. I, you know, it's too hard. But on my first day of practice, I had like a 5 mile run or something like that. It was a long run. It was like 5 miles, and I was like, oh man, I want to give up. Like this is terrible. This is so far. I'm super tired. I don't want to do this anymore. But I stuck with it, and with the help of my coaches, they convinced me to do track and field that spring, and you know, the rest is history at that point.
That's awesome. That's a cool little story, man, for sure. And we're super proud of you, obviously, and thankful to have you on here. So tell me about academics, though. What's the lane there for you moving forward?
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
What lane will you go into from an academic standpoint as you move forward?
So I'm going to major in kinesiology or business administration. I'm still kind of trying to decide which avenue is the best for me. Cause you know, I mean, I know what I have, what my options are and what I, what goals are in life. So those are the two, things that I'm looking to study.
Those are certainly two completely different things. So what drew you to one or the other?
Yeah. My goal is to go into healthcare in some sort of way, whether right. that's the administrative side or the, physical therapy, route.
Right. Gotcha. Well, look, as an athlete, just knowing your own body, right, helps with kinesiology. I don't think there's any question. Having been someone who competed at the levels you have, that's certainly helpful to know your own body and then be able to apply it to others if that's the route you take.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. And what was, like, your favorite subject in school while you were in high school? Like, what did you love the most?
Definitely the sciences that I took. I'm part of the STEM biomedical pathway, and so that pathway is geared towards it was kind of perfect for me because it's geared towards medicine and healthcare, and it's definitely science heavy. So science is definitely biology, anatomy, chemistry. Those are kind of like some of my favorite subjects.
Gotcha. Real quick, Nolan, before we let you go, a couple more for you here real quick. How are you staying in shape now? Like, what are you doing to stay in shape now since school isn't in session?
So I don't have access to a track, unfortunately. So we have like our gym that we set up in our garage. So since I can't do lots of running training, I do a lot of like cardio weights and stuff to kind of get myself a little bit stronger and start building some muscle before before the upcoming season starts.
Gotcha. And then, of course, I would presume that from a academic standpoint, there's a lot of Zoom classes in your future, or at least at the present time.
Definitely. Our school, I give a quick little shout out to our principal and the administration for our district. They're doing a great job of having us adjust to distance learning, which luckily for us, it's not too, too different because a lot of the work that we did was already online. So it was an easier transition for most of us. But I'm thankful for our teachers and our administration for kind of working to get that adjustment to make it easier on us. Because I know as seniors, it's a little like we're almost done, like we're still close. And, you know, we're not going to see our friends and everything, but to do all these Zoom calls and it makes it a little bit easier on us and on them.
Nolan Torres, Corona High School Track and Field, a 4.28 GPA, our senior shout out for today. Nolan, thank you so much, buddy. This was fantastic. Best of luck to you in the future, and congratulations on a great career, both academically and athletically.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Take care. There he is, Nolan Torres. All right. Coming up next, our weekly movie review with Ben Lyons. I want to ask him about our sweatpants debate, too. We got to ask him about that because he's going like Irwan. I mean, he's probably dressing up, too, right? Like, there's no question that Ben Lyons is not going in sweatpants to Irwan or whatever that fancy place he goes to get goat milk or, pea milk or whatever it is that he's getting. So we'll talk to Ben about that. I want to get Ben's quick awards list, too, on the NBA. Talk to him about The Last Dance. And then movie review today are Disney movies. Disney movies for you to binge this weekend. His top Disney movies. That's our movie review with Ben Lyons coming up next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Don't forget to tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The 10-part series begins this Sunday, April 19th at 6 o'clock on ESPN. And then listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by me and Sliwa on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account. I'm sure they'll podcast it as well. And it's immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm and AT&T nationally and locally by Cinquero Rum and Coors Light. And again, make sure you check out Sliwa and I on the Last Dance wrap-up show on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account at 8 o'clock as soon as it's over. And speaking of State Farm, when it comes to insurance, State Farm's the real deal. With over 19,000 local agents and award-winning mobile app that they've got as well, you can get the help you need when you need it. Find an agent or a quote at statefarm.com. Is Ben Lyons there? Is he there? All right, Ben Lyons, right, how are you?
What's happening, George?
All right, question for you. Bergman and I and Laura got into it. The audience is on my side here, but I'm curious to see how you feel since you go to Irwan to get, like, cashew milk all the time. Sweatpants to the grocery store, yes or no?
It depends what type of sweatpants. We are here in Los Angeles. If I'm coming looking like Kevin Durant before shoot around, then yes, I can wear sweatpants to the grocery store. But if I'm looking like George Sedano when the wife and kids are out of town day four, no, then you cannot wear sweatpants to the grocery store. So this is Los Angeles, and some of my friends do have $300-$400 sweatpants, so they can wear them to the grocery store.
No, I get it. If you're going Lululemon, you know, and you're spending hundreds of dollars on your sweatpants, fine. But I'm rocking. Look, I'm telling you right now what I'm rocking. Old school Champion. They're new.
I was just going to say that. Yep. Uh-huh. Fresh.
They're new.
Okay, George.
Old school Champion sweatpants, navy blue, a Dodgers Nike t-shirt, and a blue North Face jacket. I'm rocking the pavilions later with this if I've got to with my mask on.
No. See, Sedano, you can't pull that off because the Champion sweatpants, that's a strong look, but can we match them with a Champion hoodie? Like, let's get you in the onesie, like the full matching tracksuit. I'd like to see that look, but now you're mixing in Nike with Champion and the Dodgers and different shades of blue and different hues. We're all over the place now.
This is what's going to happen to you. If and when you have children, you're going to care less about matching. As long as it's the same color, you're going to feel fine.
And it doesn't have last night's like baby food on it?
Yeah, correct.
Sure.
Correct.
As long as it's been washed.
Yes, exactly.
I'll tell you this much, George. On these quarantine days, when I wake up and I take a shower and I put on real clothes, I feel more productive than I do when all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock and I'm still in my pajamas. So I think everybody should try to get up and put on some big boy clothes in the morning. If you can. What did Kobe say to Powell? Put on your big boy pants. Yeah, there you go.
The reason this even came up is because the LA Times deputy fashion editor wrote a story today about that, about if you're working from home, dress like an adult. And I'm like, the hell with that. Sometimes I go in sweatpants to the office to do the radio show. So what now, huh?
Yeah, all of us have been known to pull off the Jeff Katz look around the 710 offices on some of those days, for sure.
All right, a couple of quick things for you. I know you wanted to talk about the WNBA draft, but I want to talk NBA with you because I just had Trudell on, and we could do this quickly. I want to just have your thoughts on kind of some of these season-ending awards, like who you would give it to. So, if I told you right now, because technically – in theory, the playoffs were supposed to start tomorrow. The regular season was supposed to end yesterday. Who would you have voted for MVP if you had a vote?
I think he won the MVP the weekend before the shutdown, and that was LeBron James. I mean, LeBron James, that performance he put on over those days at Staples against the Clippers, against the Bucks, when the whole basketball community was watching, to me, solidified his place in the MVP race. The season he's put on from start to finish has been flawless. They were like 19-0 outside of Los Angeles or something crazy. So in year 17, I'm going to go with LeBron James.
I'm with you. He's my guy. I've been touting him the whole time. And I felt like, as you pointed out, that weekend kind of cemented. It was like his Heisman moment, right? Like, I feel like that's kind of the way I would describe it.
And you know what's interesting, George? You and I have had the privilege throughout our careers to get to work with the best in our field. Right? Robin Roberts or Mike Wilbon, or like LeBron James, the truly great ones, they elevate everyone by being in their presence. So you know when you're doing a hit with Wilbon, you're going to bring your A game just because they're there. So it brings everyone else up another level. And you saw that with LeBron this year and that entire Laker roster, which can shift from Dwight Howard to Jared Dudley to KCP, everybody contributed this season, and that's because of LeBron, I think.
Defensive player of the year. I went with AD.
Yeah, they're ridiculous to watch defensively. They're so long, and is he leading the league in blocks, or he's right at the top? And
yep.
Yeah, to watch him night second. In and night yep. out, and the way he's able to switch on screens, too, with smaller players, to see it every night here in Los Angeles was really special the first part of the season. So, yeah, I'm going to go with AD as well.
Most improved player, I had Bam.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo has been fantastic. He's been it's been really a joy to watch him come into his own and to see Miami rally around him. Most improved player award would probably go to Bam. Yeah, he was an all-star. I mean, this is a guy who a couple years ago people didn't even really know. So I'm going to go with Bam as well, George.
Coach of the year, I had Nurse.
What, really? In Toronto, the defending champions? And
yeah, but then no Kawhi. A bunch of G League guys they called up in the middle of the season and beat the Lakers.
That's a testament to the organization as much as it is to.
Yeah, but he's got
to
coach him.
How about Billy Donovan down in Oklahoma?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I like what the Thunder did because nobody had them in the playoff run, let alone being a tough first round out. So I'm going to go Billy Donovan.
I actually had CP3 as my number three on MVP when I voted on the ESPN straw poll. So I'm with you on the Thunder.
Did his performance in the horse competition drop him to number four?
No, it did not. It did not. That is not technically part of the regular season, so I'm not going to
Very disappointed in his showing.
Ja, right, rookie of the year. We agree on that? Like, we're not – yeah. Yeah. All right.
Ja or RJ. It's a toss-up.
Yeah, RJ. No chance for RJ. Six-man, I went Harrell.
You went Trez, huh? Over Lou? I guess he's more – I mean, can they split the vote in the same –
No, he was a better player for them this year than Lou was. Lou wasn't very efficient this year.
Yeah, it's true. Trez really was. And they are so undersized, as is, starting Zubats, that when they bring him off the bench, they're able to keep that toughness. So – I'm going chalk on the Sedano cards. I like Trez, sixth man of the year. Why not?
Well, you didn't go chalk because you didn't have Nurse. But anyway, there you go.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
How excited for The Last Dance are you before we get to your Disney review?
I just want a lot of Judd Bushler, a lot of Randy Brown. I want a lot of behind the scenes. Scott Burrell, are we going to get 20 minutes? No, of course I'm excited. I mean, watching Michael Jordan, you know, with Robin Roberts the other day, he does things just to show his competitiveness. Like, he sunned all of us with his Zoom live stream background.
Right.
He's like competing on GMA to show everyone I have the best background. Like, it's going to show a side of him that we all knew and we all have heard stories about, but maybe to see it up close on an airplane ride when he's playing cards against someone and refuses to lose before everyone gets off the plane or whatever lost footage they are able to show us on Sunday night, I'm there for him.
Did you know that Michael Thompson's younger brother is the guy who put this thing together, right? Like, you know, he filmed all this footage.
Michael Thompson's younger brother?
Andy works for NBA Films.
How is this family not, like, inducted into the Smithsonian? Like, they are just national treasures. Like, what? Really? Michael Thompson's brother just on the side happened to put together this entire documentary about the greatest athlete of the 20th century.
He pitched the idea to Adam Silver when he was running NBA Entertainment. Ramona told us the story the other day, and Andy worked for NBA Films, and he put all the footage together. He's one of the producers.
It's incredible, man. And you know, the NBA, it's another reminder, the NBA at its core, it's always been a media company. It's always been an entertainment company, whether it was the Michael Jordan Come Fly With Me tapes or you know, these behind the scenes, all access documentaries. Like, first and foremost, it's a content product. And the fact that they have the entire world excited about watching footage from 25 years ago is just a remarkable a testament to the power of basketball to galvanize people and inspire them.
No doubt about it. All right. Tell me about the WNBA draft tonight and the female Kobe, Sabrina Ionescu.
Fired up, man. You can feel it on social media today. A lot of people talking. There's going to be some trades. The Sparks have the 20th pick. They have three picks throughout the draft. They might get Shanae's sister, Erica, which would be amazing. They'd have three Akumakes here in Los Angeles. And they're all on quarantine, like lockdown together. So if she gets drafted by the Sparks and they're
cool.
All live together, it's going to be a great moment. But Sabrina's obviously the talk of the draft. She's going to go number one to the New York Liberty, who are coming off two losing seasons after Bill Laimbeer left for Vegas. But Sabrina, who obviously struck a chord with Kobe and has dominated up at Oregon, is that that transitional star who can transcendent star who can take the W to places it hasn't been yet. Hopefully these women can get back on the court. We want to see basketball in every shape and form as soon as possible. So to see Sabrina go to New York tonight, I think is going to be a moment, and hopefully she can get on the court soon and we can get the Liberty back in the mix in the WNBA, because it's been a few down years.
Yeah, and maybe New York will actually win a championship for once. All right, so in basketball at least. All right, so
we'll take it. Hey, last LA title was the Sparks, so there you go.
Exactly.
The NECA hitting that shot against the league.
Exactly. All right, so give me your Disney review today. So there was the Disney family sing-along yesterday on ABC, and the Sedano family had some fun watching that with my five-year-old daughter. We were watching, so it inspired me to tell you today's topic would be this. So what do you got for me, Lions?
All right, so no live-action movies. These are just classic Disney animated films, and here's
correct.
My top 10. At number 10, outside the box, Nightmare Before Christmas, written by Tim Burton. I watch it every holiday season.
Love it.
Stop-motion animation. At number 9, Coco, just a wonderful film exploring Dia de los Muertos and the history behind it in Mexican culture, a beautiful film. Number 8 on the list, Moana, also a deep dive into a culture. This is, of course, in Hawaii with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and I love Moana. The songs are beautiful. At number 7, if the first 10 minutes don't make you weep like a teething infant, then there's something wrong with your soul. I am going with Up, which was nominated for Best Picture. As was WALL-E at number 6, another Disney Pixar movie, WALL-E, about a robot in outer space that picks up garbage and goes on an adventure, a beautiful film. Number 5, it takes on new meaning with viewings as you get older, Fantasia. This one represents, to me, the classic Disney animation of Mickey Mouse and Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan. It's beautiful to watch with a live orchestra. I've done that on a wonderful summer's night out at the Hollywood Bowl. Number 5, Fantasia. Number 4 on my list, the original Aladdin. Robin Williams should have gotten an Oscar nomination for his role as the genie, but Aladdin, Princess Jasmine, don't let the Will Smith one taint the iconic first one from the early 90s, 1993, I think. Aladdin at number 4. Number 3, the best of the Toy Story movies, Toy Story 1. A surprise hit at the time, Woody, Buzz Lightyear have become institutions in childhood, and I just love that whole premise and the whole world and the idea that your toys are alive when the parents are gone and away. Number 2, again, the first 5 minutes will make you cry, Finding Nemo, probably my favorite of the Pixar movies, and Ellen DeGeneres as Dory got her own movie. Nemo still holds up. Willem Dafoe is great in Nemo. I love it. And Albert Brooks, too. Number 1, Lion King. It's a perfect movie. The original. It's the best Disney movie. I'm going with James Earl Jones and The Lion King, the original. So that's my Disney top 10.
That's our Disney top 10, the Ben Lyons movie review. All right, before we let you go, I started the show talking about how in the NFL draft, the Lions are open for business. You know, every year someone in that top 5 is open for business. And I think that the Chargers, if they want to make their imprint here in LA, okay, the Rams that first season were the cure for insomnia with Jeff Fisher, but right after that, you know, Sean McVay and company, they grabbed you. They were electric. They were passionate. They were fun. Then they doubled and tripled down, went to the Super Bowl. They already had a more established fan base here in Southern California, particularly in LA because of their time in Anaheim 20 years ago. I feel like there's a lot of football free agents. If you're the Chargers, don't you have to trade up to get Tua, to get that guy to make your imprint? You don't even have to play him this year because you can play Tyrod Taylor, give him the red shirt year, and then you have your guy moving forward. Wouldn't that be the move the Chargers need to make?
You got to do something. You got to have somebody to put on the billboard. You got to have somebody in this town that's going to get attention in the conversation around sports. Look, I mean, every Saturday and Sunday when the world is back open and back to normal, you got the biggest stars in the world playing right here in our backyard, from Mike Trout and Mookie Betts to LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, the list goes on. So if the Chargers are going to stay relevant, are going to have a real fan base that exists here in Los Angeles, which I can't seem to tap into yet, they gotta make a move. And I like Tyrod Taylor. I think he's a very underrated quarterback, a serviceable quarterback who might get them 8 wins this year. But that's not going to sell tickets. It's not going to have SoFi filled up with Charger fans when the Eagles come to town or when the Chiefs or the Raiders come to town. Like this is a tough sports town. It's a star-driven town, and you got to and stars are stars because they're good. Don't just throw out somebody because you need a name. I think at the end of the day, Tua is going to be a solid pro, so you got to take a flyer. You got to take a chance if you're the Bulls. I'd be very disappointed if they don't.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. Yeah, look, the Chargers are struggling to sell seats in that new stadium that's coming up. And to your point, man, you got to have someone on the marquee. That's where I started the conversation. I remember when I lived in Pasadena, I went to the Pasadena Playhouse. You know why? Because Al Pacino was doing a Tennessee Williams play called God Looked Away. And only in this town could Al Pacino, an Oscar Award winner, do a play in Pasadena, okay, and it be a hit. This is what you're competing with, Chargers. Pacino in Pasadena. You need to go get Tua.
Yeah, I like it, George. I like it. Melvin Gordon once played here is not something that's going to get you to go out and spend money on the Chargers. So I hope they make a move on Sunday. I'm glad we have drafts. We had a WNBA draft tonight, the NFL draft next week. It gives us something to get excited about.
No question about it. Thanks for coming on, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, lots of love. Lots of love to the city, man. Stay safe. Enjoy the movies and the draft this weekend. Take care.
All right, brother, you too. There he is, Ben Lyons, for our weekly movie review. So there you go. He ranked all the animated Disney movies for you. Go have at it with your kids. All right, coming up next, Joe Kelly. Yep, that Joe Kelly from your Dodgers. He may have pissed off his wife. I'll explain next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any one of our interviews today, Ben Lyons, Mike Trudell, our senior shout-out. You can go to the entire interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? And of course, find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, Spotify, or Google, wherever you find your podcast. And lastly, are you missing basketball? Well, tune in tomorrow night for an NBA Classic, Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals between the Raptors and Warriors, presented by AutoZone. We'll be on ESPN Radio, so you'll be able to hear it here on ESPN Los Angeles. Coverage begins at 5 Pacific on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and here on ESPN Los Angeles. So, couple things. We have audio, right, of Joe Kelly. So basically, Bergman, Joe Kelly was, correct me if I'm wrong, he was warming up, right, or just practicing outside in his yard, and he's got a netting set up. So he doesn't, lose balls, and he's got balls that he can work with, and he doesn't have to, just grab a bucket or whatever, and he can retrieve the balls easier. And now the netting is set up right in front of his house. So basically the window is right by the netting, right? So it's covering most of the window, but there's some of a window showing. And then all of a sudden, he decided to start working on a new pitch. What pitch was that? A changeup?
Yeah, he was working on a changeup. He has one already, but he was working on it to try and, work it out.
And things went awry. So we have the audio of him working out. I guess his son or someone in his family was filming this while he was doing it. And needless to say, it didn't go well for him or Mrs. Kelly in this particular situation, because you're going to hear a really loud noise and we're all going to know what it is. Let me hear it.
Oh.
Just break the window?
Yeah.
All right.
Wondering how quarantine's going? Joe is working on a changeup. Yeah, that's cool. Rad.
Yeah, Mrs. Kelly, not happy with Joe right there, that's for sure.
Can you imagine? His wife is pregnant with twins too.
Oh,
so
no.
Yeah. So if you think she's going to get annoyed pretty easily, that's one way to get.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. And God bless her. Okay, listen. Being pregnant, I would never know what it's like, but I've seen my wife do it twice, and it's not fun. It can't be fun. Having twins has got to be incredible. Like, it just, good Lord. But yeah, like, dude, you're a professional pitcher, man. How do you not hit the netting?
Well, because, if you watched Joe Kelly all year last year like we did, when he got wild, he was wild, man. Like, it wasn't – you're like, uh-oh, it's wild Joe Kelly right now. Relax. And then this is what he did. I mean, what are you doing putting the netting even anywhere near a window?
Yeah. Yeah, just put it up against a fence. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it goes over the fence, you could just go, you could call your neighbor and be like, hey, sorry, got to go over there, stay 6 feet away. You know what I mean? Like, it just, there's ways to go around this. So apparently Laura says that Joe has apologized to his wife, and I guess he has, we have some sound of Joe after the fact. Let me hear Joe Kelly.
So the best part about it is, I was throwing this, clean Fuego. So this thing, listen, this thing is as hard as a rock. It's heavy plastic.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a baseball with seams, cut in half. So I'm throwing a changeup. So I'm trying to make it gyro like this.
Yeah.
So it catches and then it turns and then it hovers, boom, through the window. Best part about it is I go inside, I look at the ground. There's glass in the kitchen. So it made it under the door, through the kitchen, glass in the kitchen, glass in the bathroom, glass in all over the bed, the room, the sheets, the carpet, rug, into the closet. And then I see my nice little clean Fuego ball by the closet door on the other side of the room. I look at it, I go and grab it, pick up the ball, and I'm going, Matt, that's a big mess. A, B, it's going to cost a lot of money, and when my baby's here in 2 days and there's glass everywhere. And
everything
with the mind, C, I'm going to pick up my ball and go finish my program. So I threw for another 20 minutes, got down my throwing program, came back inside, got my shop back, cleaned for 3 hours, which is like 9:30 now, called my neighbor across the street, not a softball player. His name's Justin. Said, hey, bud, you have a tarp? You got anything for me? He's like, yeah, I got the tarp. I go camping. I was like, cool, bring it over. Show him the damage. Up the whole window around it. Duct tape it. I threw this thing. Let's just say I'm not really good at throwing this thing yet. I'm really good at the fastball. Change up, you got to turn it a little bit and throw it. Not as good at the change up, as you can tell in the video. But that was my throwing.
So there was Joe Kelly at WEEI in Boston explaining the whole scenario. Now, I thought the most fascinating part about that was him saying that even though the window was broken and he told his wife who's having the babies in 2 days, that's a pretty big distinction there. Hey, I got to finish my throwing regimen. What? Like, right. Like, listen, I feel like my wife makes a lot of sacrifices for me, okay? She does. She takes care of the kids because I'm away a lot, right? Like, I'm on the road a lot doing NBA games. But if that happened to me, there's no way we're not cleaning up the mess first before I go back to finishing up my throwing regimen. Now, Bergman, we know that your girlfriend won't even let you out of the house in sweatpants. So we know for sure you can't break a window and keep going back to your throwing regimen.
Oh, no. If I have to do a throwing regimen, you stop. You clean up and then you go back outside. That's the way that has to be. It's crazy that you clean up first. I don't care what you have to do. It has nothing to do with girlfriends, wives, anything. You just do the cleanup first.
Laura, if your boyfriend broke the window, would you let him go back to his throwing regimen if he was a major league pitcher? Or are you telling his ass to clean it up?
No, he's going to clean it up first. No, hands down, you're not going anywhere outside until my house is clean because you caused that mess.
I mean, that's pretty big kuyans, you know what I'm saying? To like go, hold on, honey, I'll clean it later. Let me finish my last 35 pitches. No way in hell that flies anywhere else.
Right. Did that fly within the Sedano household?
No chance.
Never.
Zero.
I can't believe that he did that. That he just went through and was like, whoa, hold on. I got it.
Yeah, no chance at all. Speaking of no chance, or, you know, at least at USC, JT Daniels, we didn't even get to this yesterday or even earlier today. Out. Transfer portal. He's going to go somewhere else. Maybe Michigan. Maybe Tennessee, right? Where his former offensive coordinator is, T. Martin. But JT Daniels done. Are you surprised the JT Daniels era is over, Bergman? I'm not. Look, Keaton Slovis was really damn good.
Yeah, Keaton Slovis was fantastic. And JT Daniels, I mean, he got hurt, and it was just one of those Wally Pipp situations. Slovis came in and just completely – he played well. He outplayed JT Daniels. So now you go with the hot hand there. He wasn't going to play. So why be there?
No, I get it. Like, he's got to go. And it's why I like the transfer portal for the kids. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But yeah, like, Slovis is the future. He's more mobile. He's actually a better fit for what they want to do, what they want to run with Graham Harrell and company. So, like, yeah, like, I get it. Like, he did get Wally Pipp by a young kid who, it's crazy because while it is, Like, this kid was a three-star recruit, and he played like a five-star recruit. He was incredible, Slovis. So I hope JT Daniels can pick up his career somewhere else, because I thought JT Daniels was going to be a really good quarterback. I just didn't know how he was going to fit within this particular construct at USC. So, look, that's big-time college athletics. And there have been plenty of transfers that have picked up and done well. Go ask Joe Flacco. It worked out pretty well for him. So, all right, we're done here. Thanks to Mike Trudell. Thanks to our senior shout-out. Thanks to Ben Lyons. Thanks to Greg and Laura. Thanks to you guys for tuning in and defending me wearing my sweatpants to the grocery store. Have a great weekend. We love you. Talk to you on Monday. See ya.